The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hey friends, welcome back to The Common Good, AM 1160, Hope for Your Life. My name is Brian Fromm. So glad to have you with us on this Tuesday afternoon. And we are thrilled to be joined by the director of Plugged In, a ministry of focus on the family. His name is Adam Holtz. Adam, how you doing today, bud?
I'm good, Brian. How are you today?
I'm doing wonderful, doing great. Hey, before we dive into what we're going to talk about, I know we've had John before, we've talked about it before, but don't want to assume everyone's listened before. So tell us about Plugged In as this ministry of focus on the family. What is Plugged In?
Yeah, Plugged In focuses media discernment and review website. And we're probably best known for our movie reviews. We review pretty much everything that comes out that is in the mainstream. Some of the most extreme sexual things we'll pass on, but we review almost everything because people want to know. We also review books, TV shows, music, video games, YouTube channels, apps, and our reviews are a little bit different than your typical review in that we're not giving an artistic or an aesthetic assessment as our main point of view. We may talk about whether something was good or bad, yeah, but we want to give you all the information you need to make a decision for your family. So we keep track of all of that content, and we try to write it in a way that tells you what you need to know without being too explicit in the case of, you know, some of the stuff that has more content.
Right. This is going to sound like a total old man question here, so I admit that in advance. How do you figure out which YouTube channels to even go to? Are you like trying to figure out what are the big ones with the, I'm using air quotes, with the kids these days? How do you even know which YouTube channels to review?
Well, certainly it sort of feels like, you know, putting a mug in the ocean and getting a little bit of water. Yes. We'll be the first to admit that with YouTube, it's almost the polar opposite of movies. Movies, we cover virtually everything. YouTube, we are trying to cherry pick a couple different things. We're trying to look at the most popular YouTubers. When something pops up that's newsworthy and, you know, is making the news, we'll do that. We also look for YouTubers that are providing Christian content and also content for younger kids as well. So there are three or four different things that we look for, and we've been doing it for, man, I think 3-ish years now. And so we have, you know, several hundred reviews up of YouTube channels. And again, with YouTube, unlike a movie where you can sit and watch the whole thing and have a comprehensive look at all that content, you know, obviously we can't watch thousands of videos. So, you know, we'll try to watch 8 to 10 to 12 videos over the period of time that the channel's been active to get a representative sampling of what you can expect. And, you know, it's funny, even since we started this, things are continuing to migrate towards short form video, TikTok, Instagram, that sort of thing. And so trying to cover technology is a moving target. But we're doing the best we can to give you the information you need as a parent and as a family.
Yeah, and that's a good segue into your book, Becoming a Screen Savvy Family. I'd encourage people to pick that up, Becoming a Screen Savvy Family. I say it's a good, it gets us into it well, because a lot of us parents are like, I don't even know where to start. I don't even know how to get my mind around that. But speak to the parent who feels that way and like, no, this is not something you could just wave the white flag on.
Right. No, that's right. And I think that there are two temptations as parents, and our responses vary for lots of reasons. I do think that there's still some parents out there that they sort of go into complete hermetically sealed lockdown mode, that our response to the culture is we're throwing all the screens out. We're not going to watch anything. We're not going to have any exposure. And frankly, Brian, I had friends that grew up in those sort of households 35 years ago. it wasn't even possible in 1986, let alone.
Yes.
Or right.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So it doesn't mean that we just have to roll over. And that's the other, you know, sort of extreme is, oh, well, it's just the way things are. Kids are going to be kids. It'll be fine. I think that what we want to encourage is a perspective where we are engaged and we're intentional and we're in conversation with our kids about the choices that we're making. And that doesn't mean that we're necessarily going to avoid everything bad that's out there during COVID. My 16-year-old came up at one point and said, well, I just got done watching the entire series of Breaking Bad. I'm like, once again, things I could have known earlier, right?
Yes.
And so as parents, we have those moments where we realize maybe our kids have seen something that we wish that they hadn't.
Right.
But the point is to be engaging in conversation about the choices we're making and about the ideas that we're seeing. And let me say one other thing about that, Brian. Obviously, when our kids are younger, our responsibility as parents really is to be those gatekeepers.
That's right.
So I think, you know, if we're talking 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old kids, that's a different conversation than when our kids are 14, 15, 16. And
right.
So I think what we would advocate is there's a gradual granting of agency, I guess, if you will, and giving them freedom to make decisions and staying engaged in that conversation. And so, you know, I can ask my kids who are 13, 15, and 17 now, you know, what do you think the main message was there? What was the worldview? How does that compare to what we believe as Christians? And they may roll their eyes a little bit, but they usually answer the question,
yeah.
right? And so
yeah.
when I say conversation, we're cultivating that, and we're not just passively, mindlessly consuming all the time, but we're saying, yeah. okay, we're going to make a choice to watch this. We're going to have boundaries on our screen time. And when it gets out of hand, we're going to reset those.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Let's go to the very beginning. How do you navigate? How do you help? How do you suggest families navigate the when to even introduce technology to our kids? Not yeah. the TV, right? We all had little kids watching Elmo and stuff like this, but I literally mean like phones, tablets. How do we begin that process? And when should we begin that process?
Yeah, you know, everybody wants the right answer. And I would say that there are a number of experts that have said wait till eighth grade. And there are some that say if you can wait until high school before your kids have a smartphone and, you know, social media often comes right along with it. I think those are great baseline starting points. I will say that especially with the smartphone, it's a little bit like a genie. Right.
Mm.
And once you let the genie out, it's difficult to put the genie back in. And then you're moving to a different set of boundary conversations. Right. How much time? Where are you going to use your device? What are you going to be engaged in? And those are questions that at some point we'll have to answer. So I would say the longer you can delay, the better.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
with my son, we got him a flip phone. He took it to school and got mocked mercilessly.
I'm sure.
So that felt like, see, we're trying. And he's just like, no, you don't understand. This is, you know, opening me up to ridicule. And so even sometimes our well-meaning attempts to go halfway, we acknowledge, okay, it's not working. And on the other hand, those phones are the way kids communicate today.
Mm-hmm.
And so at some point, you're probably going to cross that bridge, right? And so with him, we crossed it at 13.
Okay.
And if you have more than one child, you know that you're strictest usually with the oldest.
100%.
And then things get looser after that. And so I think my two daughters were 11 or 12, and my son still is like, well, why did they get a phone before I did? I had to wait another year. And there is the parental exhaustion factor, right? And that the boundaries you set for the oldest almost become the de facto boundaries for your younger ones too. So there's that, there's the ideal, and then there's the messy reality.
Yes.
And the messy reality doesn't mean, again, that we just cave in, but if we're striving for perfection, that's a heavy load.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
if we're building relationship with our kids, you know, what are you watching? What is interesting to you? What do you identify with? Those are some of the principles that we talk about in the book.
That's great. Again, the name of the book is Becoming a Screen Savvy Family. Adam Holtz is the director of Plugged In at Focus on the Family. If you want to learn more about Plugged In and also the book Becoming a Screen Savvy Family, go get the podcast, wherever it is, get your podcast, and you can catch up on the first segment. But I asked Adam to stick around so we could talk about a specific topic, and that is video games. That is video games. So, Adam, when I was a kid, I played Nintendo, right? Tecmo Bowl and Super Mario Brothers. And even when I got married, you know, I had an early PlayStation and I just played Madden. But it was just that, a football game, and then you turned it off. Help old people like myself who think of video games like that to understand, like, the video game culture now is so different for our kids. So there are books upon books written about that. But as best you can, help people who may not understand that kind of understand the role video games play now.
Well, I think, you know, building on what you said, Brian, you and I grew up in what I'll call the arcade age. Right. And so we may have even taken a handful of quarters to the bowling alley on Saturday morning and played our favorite game. And then those of us of a certain tender age remember when the Atari came out. And then a little bit later, it gave way to Nintendo. And the draw initially was, oh, man, I can have my favorite arcade game at home. But those arcade games were always built on sort of a very limited time that you played, right? Your goal was to get the high score. Well, really gradually, I mean, I can't point to what the absolute tipping point was, but I think by the time we got to, you know, like the PlayStation 3 and 4, the first Xbox released in 1999, and I remember when Halo came out, and I remember when Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic came out. I lived with four guys. I was single at that point. I was in my late 20s, early 30s. And by the late 1990s, we had already moved from that arcade-style engagement to what I would describe as a narrative engagement, where we're playing through a story. Back in 2014, 15, I may get the date wrong, Grand Theft Auto came out. And this is an M-rated game that has massive content. But the main storyline is something like 100 hours, right?
Wow.
And so, talking about storylines that might be the narrative equivalent of 50 movies. Mm. And then I would say the next quantum leap happened in the early 2000s. And since then, as online gameplay became the de facto way that kids play. So it used to be, you know, you'd get your friends together and go down in the basement. And we still do that. You know, we've got a Nintendo Switch and sometimes we'll get four of us playing Mario Kart at the same time.
Oh, my house as well. Yes.
You can still do that. And frankly, that's a great example of a game that you can have a lot of fun with. And you're not going to play Mario Kart for 100 hours because, well, us oldsters will be motion sick before
that's
that.
That's right.
But now you have these immersive online games that are competitions against others. So, you know, I'm talking about games like Fortnite has been one of the bigger ones that people may recognize, where your goal is to team up to win a competition. And these actually, some of those are more time-based as well. So you're back almost to an arcade kind of thing, but now you're doing it with people online. Maybe it's your friends, maybe it's not. But I think the difference between games now and then is that immersive narrative component. And it's paired with very photorealistic imagery. It's not just, you know, 8-bit blocks of pixels that look vaguely like a donkey, you know, or a monkey.
Yes.
It's very, very realistic.
Yeah, you brought up Mario Kart. We love to play that in our house, and I constantly come in last.
My children completely glory in slaughtering me at Mario Kart. But so, serious point, though, when we talk about video games, it can often be a bad news, bad news, bad news conversation. Oh, it's all bad. They're violent. They're wrecking kids. And there are some real concerns to talk about. There are legitimate conversations there. there's also a space to develop relationship with our kids. And so I think with all of these entertainment media we talk about, there's things that we need to avoid or be aware of. And there are places that we can really enter in and have a relationship building experience with our kids. And I think video games, and I'm going to stereotype just a little bit, especially with dads and sons.
Agreed.
It doesn't mean our girls don't enjoy Mario Kart sometimes too, but it becomes an opportunity to build relationship as well.
That's a good word. Let me take it to the negative side and ask you kind of a two-pointed question, kind of the two biggest fears out there for, but none of my kids were huge video gamers. None of my kids were, but I do have friends whose kids, like, that's what they do. That's where their friendships are. That's where they're. So help with that. Like, sometimes my first reaction is like, well, we should not let our kids have all of their relationships online, or there's the danger. You don't know who's lurking online. Talk to the parent maybe whose kid gets most of their socializing through video games. Where's that good? Where's the danger to watch out for?
Right. You know, I think psychologists who are smarter than me have recognize that men especially, and again, we're talking about boys here, we tend to be task oriented. And so part of the draw of video games psychologically is that you can team up and accomplish something with somebody else that gives you a sense of satisfaction and accomplishment, you know, leveling up. Mm-hmm. Where it gets dangerous is there can be a compulsive or addictive quality to that, that it becomes an easier way to sort of achieve something in a virtual reality, and real reality can become more difficult. We all know the stereotype of the kid in his basement who does nothing but plays video games. And so I think at the most basic level, having some time parameters on things is a good starting point. I think engaging with your kids in terms of who are you playing with? Like, I know my son has three or four people from his high school that he plays with. He also has a number of people across the country that he has developed relationships with.
Right.
And I think as long as we're talking about that, there's a layer of protection there. I think especially if our kids are younger, we need to have the stranger danger online conversation, right?
Yes.
If you have somebody who's asking for a phone number, if they're asking for personal contact info, if they're saying anything that feels inappropriate or weird, you know, like if at any point you're like, oh, that's kind of an odd question or something to say, then we need to really coach them that, you need to get off of that game and not connect with those people. Yeah. And most of the games have parental control settings that offer a modicum of control about who you're connecting with.
Yeah.
So especially for younger gamers, you can just turn some of those features off completely.
That's great. Yeah. Again, it's not this world that I really lived in. Like, my son he'll go downstairs and play Madden for a while or whatever. But then I talk to some friends and you're like, wow, there's this whole other world out there. Adam, for people, this has been awesome. Super helpful for people who want to get your book, or also more importantly, want to connect with Plugged In. Tell us where we can do that.
You can come to pluggedin.com, and we're a ministry of Focus on the Family, as you mentioned, and we're part of the parenting department. And if you go to focusonthefamily.com/parenting, we have lots of other resources there. And I will put a very quick plug in for our podcast, The Plugged In Show. We have a weekly conversation about exactly these kinds of topics. Great. So check out thepluggedinshow.com and you'll find our episodes there.
Adam Holtz is director of Plugged In at Focus on the Family. Also pick up the book, Becoming a Screen Savvy Family. Adam, you're always very generous with your time, man. We'll do it again soon. Thanks.
Sounds good, Brian. Thank you.
Yep. You're listening to The Common Good. AM 1160. Hope for your life.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.